Okay, we're getting ready to start this living oral history interview. The first part will be demographics and family history. I'm first going to ask you some simple demographic questions. These questions may jog your memory, but please keep your answers brief and to the point for now. We can go into more detail later in the interview. Please say and spell your name.
Fred Adams. F-R-E-D-A-D-A-M-S.
And so before we continue, I just want to say thank you, Fred, for agreeing to be part of this Living Oral History Project. What is your date of birth, including the year?
February 16th, 1934.
How would you describe your ethnic background?
African American.
What is your religion, if any?
None, agnostic.
What is the highest level of formal education you have completed?
3 years at university.
Did you attend any additional school or formal career training beyond that?
Various courses at community colleges, Portional in particular.
What is your marital status?
Together with a lady.
Okay. How many children do you have?
Two.
How many siblings do you have?
None.
You're an only child?
Only child.
Wow. Okay. What was your primary occupation?
Management. Industrial manager.
Okay. At what age did you retire?
80, 70, oh God, retired 10 years ago, I'm 82, so 72.
Okay, that's fine. All right, now we're going to move into part two, memories of childhood and youth. This part of the interview is about your childhood and youth, and once again, we're going to focus just on that part for right now. So what was your family like when you were a child?
Together, kept a good eye on me. Raised primarily by my mother and my grandmother.
Right.
My father was around.
Okay. So you were raised here in Ann Arbor?
Born and raised in Ann Arbor.
Okay. So what sort of work did your parents do?
My mother was an elevator operator for Ann Arbor Trust, and she did some waitressing additionally. My father worked also as a maintenance handyman for the Ann Arbor Trust Company, and additional as a bartender at the Derby Bar.
So in terms of your mother, I know that was something that people did years ago, the elevator operator. We interviewed another person that also, that was her occupation. So what are some of your memories about that? Do you have any?
Oh, riding up and down with her, actually operating the elevator, having fun with it.
And so what store was that?
The Ann Arbor Trust building on the corner of Main Street in Huron.
What are some of your earliest childhood memories?
I have many of those.
Start sharing some of those.
Oh, memories of school and playing and the people I associated with in school. Memories of the Dunbar Center, for example, where I spent a lot of time in the Boy Scouts there and playing ping pong, playing pool, and associating with people. Did a little boxing there. It was a good place to go after work to keep you out of mischief, after work, after school to keep you out of mischief. Did that until I was in high school when I did a lot of participation in athletics after school, so I was in the Boy Scouts until I was probably 16.
So what was the most outstanding thing that you did or remember about the Boy Scouts?
Oh, a trip to Valley Forge when I was probably 14, 15 years old, train trip. a national jamboree there.
Okay. Now talk to me a little bit more about the Dunbar Center. I've interviewed several people, and that people that grew up here all talked about the Dunbar Center. So what are some thoughts that come to mind when?
Well, it was a place where, as a kid, you could go and associate with other kids and, like I say, get off the street, stay out of mischief. They had activities there. They had the Boy Scouts there. They did some musical performances there. They were generally very, very active in the Black community. One of the places that it was a gathering place for the Black community in Ann Arbor.
And was that one of the few places that you could gather as Blacks?
Other than churches? I guess. I suppose if we wanted to rent some place, we could have gathered, but that was essentially the main gathering place.
And that was located where?
On the corner of Kingsley and 4th Ave.
Were there any special days, events, or family traditions you remember from your childhood?
Well, mostly just the holidays and the Christmas, Thanksgiving were always big days for us, and that was pretty much it. No special events, no family gatherings or anything along that line.
So what made the Christmas holidays so special?
Good food. And of course, presents.
All right. So what would the table look like for dinner? What would be some of the main dishes?
Oh, of course, turkey goes without saying. And my grandmother made handmade rolls that she put on the radiator for the bread to rise, and that kind of thing, sweet potatoes. Pretty much standard affair.
Okay.
For food.
So when you say standard, somebody listening to this might not know what standard is for African Americans. So you said rolls, you said sweet potatoes, and
not so much standard African American, just standard American.
Okay.
With turkey, dressing, gravy, sweet potatoes, that kind of thing.
Okay. All right. Which holidays, you just mentioned that your family celebrated, Thanksgiving, Christmas, any other ones that you can recall?
Nothing spectacular, no.
Okay. So the main ones for you were the Christmas and the Thanksgiving?
Pretty much so.
All right. And what is one of the most memorable gifts that you can recall as a child that you got at Christmas time?
I really can't recall any of the gifts I got at Christmas time.
Okay.
It's been too long ago. And nothing really stands out as being absolutely spectacular.
Okay.
Of course, we got a lot of clothes, because that's when you got your clothes for maintaining the school year, so you looked halfway decent when you went to school.
And so in terms of clothes, since that was what you remember, where did you shop to get those clothes? Was there a specific place or multiple places?
I don't remember a place where you shop. There are a lot of places in Ann Arbor you could shop to get clothes, like Fiegel's, Montgomery Ward's, places like that, even Sears. A lot of these places were downtown where they later moved out.
Okay. So now, in terms of holidays, you talk about celebrating with your family. So what about during that time, did you have friends and others that came to participate in that celebration?
Mostly just family. We had in the household my aunt and uncle, as well as my mother and myself and my grandmother. So we had at least that many people, and I don't remember other people coming in for the holidays.
So you had several generations that were there for the holidays?
Yes.
And also in terms of the household, it was you, your mother, and your grandmother?
Yes.
So three generations there.
Mm-hmm.
What memories come to mind when you think about your grandmother?
A feisty lady, as tough as they come. She was a fire-breathing Baptist minister. She held church services every Sunday and Thursday. for a period of time, she had a storefront church in Detroit, so she believed in the Bible and made sure that we believe in the Bible.
So your mother was a PK, what is it, PK kit? Preacher's kit, PK?
I'm not familiar with PK.
Yeah, they say if, when you have a parent that's a minister, they refer to themselves as a PK, preacher's kid.
Grandparent.
Yeah, but your mother was the PK kid.
She would have been a PK kid,
right.
Yes.
Yeah. And so in terms of that church, you actually went to Detroit, down to Detroit to attend her church?
I attended sometimes in the summer. We sang at her church and that kind of thing, but not too often. I was too young or too old. I had things to do in Ann Arbor at that point in time.
You were at that age where you had sort of your own schedule?
Yes.
Okay. Now we're going to go to a question about sports, and I was going to come back to that, so we go into this question now. What about your school? Did you play any sports or join any other activities outside of school? So you mentioned sports, so talk to me a little bit about that. In terms of?
Well, Jones School had a pretty good sports program. They had a football team starting in the eighth grade. They had basketball teams. They had a mini league, if you want, with Slauson and Tappan Junior High Schools, where he went back and forth and played multiple sports, mostly football, basketball, and some baseball.
So which ones did you excel in?
Not really. I was just fairly decent in most of them.
Okay. Which did you like the best?
Liked them all.
Liked them all? Okay.
I was a bookworm until the eighth grade. I spent some time living with my aunt, and she said that you will get all the halls. You're not going to stay in the halls and read books. So I actually went out and participated in every sport that Jones School had available.
So you were happy that she insisted that you did that?
Yeah. I was still a bookworm. I still read a lot.
Okay. Well,
reading was a prime joy in life.
Do you still do a lot of reading?
I sure do.
Okay. What are you reading right now?
Some science fiction stuff.
All right. Does anything come to mind that you read as a child that sticks with you?
Not really. I read a lot of different kinds of things. I enjoy Greek mythology or mythology. I ran into science fiction when I got into high school and I enjoyed it. I went to college as a English lit major, so I've read a lot.
Okay. Now, are you still getting books or do you have Kindle now?
I have a Kindle. I use OverDrive to take books out of the library, which is very, very nice. Kindle's nice, so I have Kindle Fire. I buy books, I get a lot of free books, and
okay,
it's most enjoyable.
All right. I still need to hold a book in my hand, so I'm not quite there yet.
I like books. I have a lot of books. They just sit there, and I should find a way to recycle a lot of them. But I like the Kindle because I can, as I get older, my vision gets worse and worse, and this allows me to get larger print off the Kindle. And it also allows me to, when I travel, to carry books with me, to access books. And that's very nice.
Now, talk to me about schools. I heard you mention Tappan. I heard you mention, so tell me the schools that you attended.
I only attended Jones School.
Oh, Jones.
Jones was a 10-year school, from kindergarten through ninth grade when I attended.
All right.
Then I went from there to Ann Arbor High School, which was sophomore, junior, senior, for 3 years.
Okay. So it was Jones, and then it was called Ann Arbor High.
Ann Arbor High.
All right.
Located on the corner of State and Huron.
Okay.
Before, in 1954, I think, they built Pioneer High out on Stadium Boulevard and Main Street.
Okay.
But I predate that, so this would have been 1948 to 1951.
Okay. And what are some of your memories of attending Jones and then Ann Arbor High School, starting with Jones?
All the neighborhood kids came from Jones. It was essentially a black junior high school. We did get some kids from Whitmore Lake and other areas like that, that they must have been at that point in time. It was a nice school, quite a good school. It's now what, Ann Arbor Community High or something?
Community High School, right. And that's where Jones was located.
That's the same building, yes.
Same building. So now, do you have any photos of the times, at that time when you were attending Jones?
One or two, maybe.
Okay.
I have a photo of a group of young men who were probably in the 6th, 7th, 8th grade. There's no date on it. It was a very old crinkle photo when I came across it and did some repair on it.
You did the repairs. You had someone do the repair.
I did the repairs.
Okay. So that's the skill that you have.
Yeah. Some small bit of it, yes.
That's great. Did your family have any special sayings or expressions during this time of your life, during your school years?
Not really, not any I can remember.
Well, I would imagine that your grandmother had some special scripture that she referred to.
I don't remember. I don't remember anything specific that she referred to out of the Bible.
Okay.
She wasn't one to go around quoting the Bible. But if you attended her Sunday services or Thursday services, you got a lot of Bible.
All right. And that's interesting that she was a female minister at that time. Was that not unusual or was it common?
Well, it was relatively unusual. I don't remember any besides her at that point in time.
All right. And she just decided to start her own church, or how did that come about?
As far as I know, she's all of a sudden she's bringing people in who have services, and she would preach.
All right, that's interesting. Yeah, did she have quite a few people coming in?
Oh, I'd say around a dozen, something like that.
Okay, and about how long did that? Was that several years or a few?
It lasted for several years. Yes.
Okay.
I believe until she passed away.
And what was the name of the church, do you recall?
I do not remember. I'm not even sure it had any name.
Okay, they just showed up and worshiped together, huh?
They showed up and worshiped together.
Okay, well, that's great.
Of course, I attended the Bethlehem E Church that my parents attended also, so I kind of got a double dose.
Okay. Bethel, at that time on 4th Ave?
Yes.
Okay. That's where I attend now. Were there any changes in your family life during your school years? Did anything major happen during that time?
No, my family life was pretty much stable, pretty much static. Although, I guess my mother and stepfather separated, so I forgot to mention him. He was in the household also.
Okay. You want to say a little bit about him? What did he do and how, you know?
Well, for a period of time, he had a son that he was raising, and for a period of time, I had a stepbrother. Then the stepbrother discovered his real father and went to live with him in Detroit.
Okay.
So it was an interesting period.
All right. So in terms of being an only child, did you often do things with others because you're an only child, or you read, or what did you do to?
I read. We did a lot of stuff with neighborhood kids. Just kind of wandering around the summertime. We spent swimming at in the Huron River. There used to be a beach at on Argo Drive and a canoe livery, and we would swim in that area from time school let out until the time school started again. It kept us out of mischief.
During the summer, you mean?
During the summer.
Okay.
Wintertime school activities occupied...
your time?
When you're old enough to, junior high school, high school, you had after school activities like sports and the Dunbar Center to keep you occupied and out of mischief. In the summertime, you just took off in the morning. The only word was, when the street lights come on, you better be back home.
I've heard that said a number of times.
Oh, yes.
So everybody knew that, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, we were allowed to play outside after dark, as long as we were in the area.
Parents didn't worry then about
no.
kids being gone all day?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And overall, we were pretty good kids because we were raised by the black community. If you did something across town that you shouldn't have done, you really got a whipping there. I'm going to tell my mother. So you want to tell your mother? I just called her. You're going to get another one when you get home. So you're raised by the community, really, from that standpoint.
I think that's true in a lot of areas that the community did that kind of thing.
They raised the black families across Ann Arbor knew each other. It wasn't a huge community. They knew each other either through church or other things. They knew. They knew the kids. Their kids were associated with your kids that kids I went to school with. So everybody knew, virtually knew everybody else. So it kind of kept you in line.
Yeah, which is great. So I need to ask you this. So you said if you did something over here and they got on you or got you there, then when you got home, you got another reprimand. So did anything like that ever happen to you?
Not very often.
No, I said, did it ever happen?
Oh, definitely it happened. But not very often. I didn't like pain.
Okay. All right. So, but I've heard people say that in different communities that, you know, Mrs. Jones caught you doing something, she'd reprimand and take care of it. And when you got home, there would be a follow-up as well.
You better believe it. That's exactly what happened.
What happened, yeah. So you mentioned swimming. Was there something in school where you learned to swim, or were there classes, or you just sort of self-taught, or?
Well, self-taught. My stepfather, there was a place that called the Sandbar in the Huron River where black families used to go to swim. And when I was very young, before I could swim, he threw me in the water and said, you're going to swim or else. And I came out spitting and sputtering and annoyed. And I didn't go near the water with the family for a long time until I learned how to swim. So I was pretty much self-taught.
Okay.
After that, I became a very good swimmer.
Were there opportunities at Ann Arbor High or not?
Yeah, I actually went out for swimming at Ann Arbor High School, and I decided there was too much water in that pool for me to drink. So I decided this was not where I wanted to be.
All right. Well, it's good that you learned. You can enjoy certain activities because of that.
I sure can.
That's great. Okay, now, when thinking back on your school years, what important social or historical events were taking place at that time, and how did they personally affect you and your family?
Well, my school years would have taken me through the end of World War II, the Korean-Vietnam War, I was too young, of course, for the World War II, and during the Korean War and the Vietnam War, I was married and with family, and therefore not eligible to go into service. But those did take place, and all the demonstrations, of course, where the Vietnam War took place, and I definitely do remember those.
Okay. It took place in terms of being anti?
Anti.
Okay. So you lived during the era of segregation, and this is going to be fairly long, so if you need me to repeat anything, I will. Can you speak about that? Was your school segregated? Was the elementary school near your home? Was there a high school for black students in the same area? How did you get to school? Who were the teachers? Were there restaurants or eating places for blacks where you live? How were black visitors accommodated? So you can answer and I can just repeat.
Well, repeat question at a time, we'll answer each question.
Okay, why don't we do that? Was your school segregated?
No, there were no segregated schools in Ann Arbor.
Okay. So you had both blacks and whites attending?
Yes.
Okay.
In all three schools in Ann Arbor, junior high schools in Ann Arbor, they're all black and white. Although most of the Jones School was mostly black simply because it was centered in the black community. Slauson was away from the black community, as was Tappan at that point in time, so they had fewer, very few black students, but there were some in each school.
Mm-hmm. Okay, was the elementary school near your home? So you sort of answered that because you said Jones School was from
kindergarten through 10th, 9th grade.
And that was in the neighborhood?
That was all in one building in the neighborhood.
Okay. Now that's sort of interesting, that setup in terms of kindergarten through 9th. Talk to me about that a little bit. Were the different grades on different levels, or different sections of the building? How was that set up?
Kindergarten, of course, is separate, in a separate area. The grades were separate rooms for each grade until you got up to the seventh grade. Seventh, eighth, and ninth, you had a home run, if you like, if I remember correctly. Then you had classes that you went to for all that home room. Pretty much like high school.
So basically, prior to seventh grade, that you had a room that you were assigned to, and you stayed in that room all day?
Yes.
Okay, so you didn't travel?
Nope.
Okay. And you already talked about the high school. It was segregated.
High school is not segregated.
It was integrated.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, all right. How did you get to school?
Walked. Okay. Or rode my bicycle.
All right. So was that, talk to me a little bit about the distance. Is that how long or how far?
From Kingsley and Ashley to State and Huron, I'd say about a mile. It's not really that far.
Okay. And you talked about riding your bike. There was a place there once you got there to store your bikes, or how did that work?
Bicycle rack outside, yes.
Okay. Talk to me a little bit about your teachers in elementary at Joan and then also at Ann Arbor High.
You know, there's not a heck of a lot I can say about them. None of them really stand out in my mind. It's been, you're talking 60 years since okay. I have any contact with them or even spent much time thinking about them. So I remember the principal, Mrs. Gibbons, as being a very strict lady and keeping things in order. And one or two of the shop teacher, because he was the, an old word for him, enforcer, if you like. He took care of unruly young men.
He was a disciplinarian, huh?
Yeah, pretty much so. That's pretty much it. I can't remember any of my homeroom teachers.
What about in terms of, did you have both black and white teachers?
No, they're all white.
Not one black teacher?
Not one black teacher that I can remember. I'm 99% certain of that.
All right.
All through Jones School and all through high school, I do not remember a single black teacher.
But Jones was predominantly black, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, were there restaurants or eating places for blacks where you lived?
Well, Ann Arbor had an area, Ann Street area, that was a black business area. There were black-owned restaurants there. They're small, but black-owned bars that also serve food. So that was really about it. I don't remember their eating in restaurants in Ann Arbor. I don't know if they were, blacks were not allowed in restaurants or just discouraged from going to the white-owned restaurants in Ann Arbor. I can't remember. I thought about that a lot in the past. There were a restaurant called the Sugar Bowl. I kind of remember eating there, but I was a bit older when I did that. As a kid coming up, of course, we didn't go to restaurants. We didn't have money.
I've heard several people that we've interviewed talk about that area as being the Black Business District and having different businesses owned by blacks.
Yes.
And you mentioned restaurants, you mentioned stores. Do you recall any other businesses that were in that area?
Well, there were one small restaurant. There were two bars, the Derby and the place owned by David Keaton. There were two pool rooms there. There was a leather shop on the corner, but that was white owned. One or two barber shops there, a barber shop around the corner. Black owned gas station repair area, repair station. That was pretty much the black businesses at that time in Ann Arbor.
I always find it interesting to hear about that because, like myself, a lot of people didn't know that was at one point Black Business District. And so when I try to visualize that in terms of Ann Street, did you say, Ann?
Ann between Main Street and 4th Ave.
Okay.
That block on the, well, a bit across from the courthouse, that block was black businesses, although the Derby was white owned by a Greek gentleman. The pool rooms were black owned. There's a small restaurant that's black owned. The gas station was black owned. Around the corner on 4th Ave, there was a another barbershop that was black owned. Small apartment building that was black owned there also. That was pretty much it in Ann Arbor.
Mm-hmm. But just knowing that there was an area.
There was an area.
Right. And I know also, having interviewed a couple other people, they talk about that some of the homes that are back in that area is where blacks lived. I know Beek Street was one of the people we interviewed lived on Beek's. And so I've heard people reference
that. And I can guess who that is.
Who do you think it was?
Audrey Lucas.
Yeah, Audrey. And Mrs. Seeley, I think, was on Beek. Johnny Mae Seeley. Did you know Mrs. Seeley?
I don't think so.
Okay, she lived in that area. She just died about a year ago.
Which is kind of surprising. I was a paper boy as a kid coming up. And
okay.
I had as customers most of the black families in Ann Arbor. You have black families living on Beek Street between Main and the bridge. Summer Street from Beek's up to Hiscock and a little bit beyond. You had black families on Wall Street. You had black families on Glen Ave and Catherine. So the black families were scattered around Ann Arbor. Like I say, I knew most of them simply because I was a paperboy.
Right.
Okay. And I grew up in Ann Arbor, and it was an interesting experience.
And so when you say interesting, do you want to say more about that, or is that as much as you had to say about it?
No, I started out with a few papers, and black families discovered they had a black paperboy.
Mm-hmm.
And they made sure that I brought their paper to them. And I, like I say, I started on Kingsley and Ashley, and I'd go all the way down Catherine to Glen over to Wall Street, down Fuller, Come back across the bridge up Summit to Hiscock. So I covered a lot of areas, pulling my little wagon as a paper boy.
Did anybody ever get a picture of you pulling that wagon?
No. They were nice families. I had a family up on Summit that I, about the end of my route, they'd have breakfast for me.
Oh, that was special.
I thought that was rather nice.
Yeah. Do you remember the name of that family?
No, I do not.
Okay.
When the weather was really bad, my mother would help me out when snow was deep. She would drive me to my furthest stops, that being Wall Street and Glen Avenue, in that area.
Mm-hmm. That was a good mother.
Oh, I thought so. Yeah. I really appreciated it.
Yeah. Now I want to talk a little bit about, I think I asked you this, but were there restaurants or eating places for blacks? And you talked about that. How were black visitors accommodated? So if they were traveling, they came to visit here in the Ann Arbor area, where did they stay? How were they accommodated?
At my point in time, as far as I know, they stayed with friends and families in Ann Arbor. Whether or not hotels were available to them, I didn't know people who would be staying in hotels, you know, business people, that kind of thing. For the most part, they stayed with family and friends. Now, I don't know if hotels were available to them or not. High degree of probability they were somewhat available. Ann Arbor has been a pretty broad-minded town, owing primarily to the university and the number of different cultures that have come into Ann Arbor and the level of intelligence in Ann Arbor from the teachers and the university personnel. People come into the University of Michigan Hospital, people come in to teach and speak at the University of Michigan. So it was pretty wide open from that standpoint. As far as segregation in Ann Arbor, buying houses, there are areas that you couldn't buy in. I was brought up in the corner of Kingsley and Ashley, and it was kind of a mixed area because there were two white families across the street from us, and a black family next to them, and there are three poor white families on Kingsley. But if you go around from Kingsley over to Ashley Street, you couldn't buy a house. My stepfather had wanted to buy a house there, and we're back to back. Our backyard faced the side of this house. We couldn't buy it because we were black.
Right. So, talk to me a little bit more about that. So in terms of when he was trying to buy it, he was just told outright he couldn't buy it, or you figured out by the treatment that you weren't going to be able to buy
it? I was very young, and if memory serves me correctly, I simply told outright that blacks were not allowed in that area.
So in terms of accommodations, I know that some of the other interviews and just what I've read is that blacks really had other blacks stay with them when they traveled because they couldn't stay at some of the hotels or motels that were in certain areas. So that was also part of how they got accommodated in terms of staying with other blacks in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to move into adulthood, marriage, and family life. Okay, this set of questions covers a fairly long period of your life. From the time you completed your education, entered the labor force, or started a family until all of your children left home and you and or your spouse retired. So we might be talking about a stretch of time spanning as much as four decades. After you finished high school, where did you live?
I got married shortly after I got out of high school, and I lived on Main Street, corner of Depot and Main.
Hmm. Was that in an apartment? Was that a house?
That was really a room in a house with some friends of my family.
All right. Did you remain there, or did you move around through your adult life?
I lived there for a while. My first wife and I, we separated. We had philosophical differences. I think more than anything else, it was we were married too young. She had different goals than that I had, and they just were not compatible. But I stayed there on Main Street for an extended period of time, and I worked at the University of Michigan Hospital as an orderly, and I met a lady there, and we married, had my second child, and we bought a house on Gott Street, where we stayed for a good number of years until we could no longer agree. There were problems.
Okay. Now, talk to me a little bit about the Gott Street area, because that is starting to change, I think, that area in terms of who's buying into that area. Are you familiar with that?
I think it's one of the areas I forgot to mention, because Miller, Gott Street, Hiscock, they were black areas also. I think now they're seeing an influx of Caucasians into the area. My uncle lived on Gott Street for a good number of years, known the halls, and let's say I owned the halls, and people like the Whitmans have lived on Gott Street for as far back as I can remember, and a few other families. So it's, let's say it was another area primarily black, mm-hmm. Yes.
So when you were there, did you purchase your home? Were you renting?
I purchased, yes.
Okay. Okay, so when you left Gott Street, you moved. What are some of the moves that you made within the area?
Let's see. Actually, lived on, forgot the name of the street, and that's bad.
That's okay.
Don't get old. It's all South University. Spent a year there with a roommate, a friend of mine, who had gone through a divorce, and we both needed a place to stay, so we jointly rented a place for about a year before he got married. Lived there. Bought a house in Willow Run, where I spent a good number of years. Went from there, lived in an apartment off of Eastern Michigan's campus.
So you moved around a little bit.
I moved around a bit, but you're covering a lot of years,
I
too.
I know.
I lived in an apartment for a good number of years on Packard. And went from there to the lady I am currently with now. We rented a house on Doane Court, which is in the Maple Miller area. We rented it in 1979. Bought it in 1981, stayed there until 2006, where we purchased the house that we're currently living in.
And I discovered that we're practically neighbors.
Yes, we are. We're very close.
And never met you before, so. So you talked about, you know, getting married, being married. But tell me a little bit about how it was in terms of dating and when you were growing up.
Well, I essentially dated the lady I married in high school.
Okay.
We were part of the community.
All right.
I met my second wife while working at work. Another lady I met on a double date, and we spent a good number of years together. then there's this lady who I spent the last 38 years with.
How many?
38.
Oh, very good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, when I asked about dating, I think I was thinking more about those early years, you know, than those high school years. It seems like at certain periods of the time, there were a lot of restrictions on young ladies dating and going out. Did you run into any of that with when you were dating in high school?
Not really.
Not really.
Don't. What kind of restrictions?
You know, it was more that you had to have somebody going along with you. You had to.
None of that.
None of that.
No.
Okay.
In high school, we dated. We went to movies. We went to dances. Went to other affairs with no supervision.
So, were you driving, or how did you get around?
Walk.
All right. When you're young, that doesn't matter. You just want to get to where you want to go. Just walk there.
Yeah. Couldn't afford a car.
Okay. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about your children. Tell me how many about your children and what life was like when they were young and living in the house.
Well, unfortunately, my son, we didn't spend a lot of time together as a young, living in the same household as a youngster. We've always been in touch since he lives in Ann Arbor currently. He's never left Ann Arbor. My daughter, after her mother passed, we spent a good several years in the same household, then things happened. And she lived with her mother for a while, and when her mother passed, she came to live with me. And then she went back. She came to live with me before her mother passed. Then she went back to live with her mother when she was 12, 13, 14 years old, and spent the rest of her years there. But I was... spend a lot of time with her, always in her life, and she's still one of my favorite people.
That's good. Do you have any grandchildren?
I have two.
All right. And boy, girls, girl,
two boys. One is 39, the other is 36.
So are they in this area?
No, their mother, my daughter, moved to Orlando. And she's been there for the past 21 years, and they've been with her until.
Okay. So do you get to see them often?
Only when I go to Orlando.
Okay.
Once or twice a year.
Oh, that's pretty good. What are some of your personal favorite things to do for fun?
Play golf.
Are you a good golfer?
No, nobody's a good golfer.
Some people think they are.
Nope. Golf is a very humbling but fun game.
Okay.
As long as you don't take it serious. Golf, reading, theater, that kind of thing are essentially my amusements.
All right.
Some traveling.
So where are some of the places you've traveled to?
For recreation or for business?
Both.
Well, let's see. I've been to England, Scotland, Germany, France, Ireland, Italy, Taiwan, China, Brazil, Venezuela, Mexico, Canada.
Well, you've done a lot of traveling. So is out of those, are there favorites?
Not really. I enjoy Canada because I've been there more often than any place else. Places like Toronto, do a little over back and forth to Windsor every once in a while. Toronto's one of my favorite cities. Montreal is one of the places I've not been. That remains on my bucket list. Places like New Orleans, San Francisco are favorite cities of mine because I am something of a gambler from time to time. I like Las Vegas. We hit there once or twice a year. It's a fun thing to do.
So that might be one of your favorite places then.
It's one of my favorite places.
Okay.
I haven't been there since this October.
Okay. All right. And you mentioned theater. So what kind of theater? Is it anything in particular? Do you like opera? Do you like just plays or what?
Plays primarily. Dance, for example, I do like, I just forgot the name of the dance group. It's a famous dance group, black dance group.
Avenali. Okay.
I've seen them in Ann Arbor, going down to Detroit to see them. They're one of my favorites. So dance, all kinds of music, jazz, popular music, opera, musical theater. I guess it's in part with my background with as an English major.
Okay. Very cultured, huh?
I wouldn't call myself cultured. They're called a lot of things. Culture is not one of them.
Okay. Have you seen Hamilton by any chance?
No, I have not.
Okay. I understand it's in Chicago now. Are there any special days, events, or family traditions you practice with your children that was different from your childhood traditions?
No, mostly the major holidays. Birthdays, of course, or always special events.
Okay.
Right now, Sundays are a big day, a reasonable day. The family that is in the area, my Better Halves family in particular, we get together for Sunday dinner.
Is that every Sunday?
Every Sunday they want to show up. There are two kids, 7 and 9, grandnephews. As they get older, they do their thing more and more, and they have other things they want to do other than come spend time with their Anna for Sunday dinner. Sister's friend, Sharon, whom you know, I frequently show up for dinner.
So I'm just curious about that dinner. Is it, do you all do all the preparing, or is it sort of a potluck?
My better half normally does most of preparation.
That's very nice.
Yeah, I guess.
I think so. Okay. So people show up for dinner, you just sit around and talk, you watch TV. So what's part of the afternoon on Sunday?
We talk, we watch sports on. If it's football season, we'll watch the Lions play. And just generally chat and talk about businesses and what they're doing, what's going on with them.
Okay.
In their case, one of them is, he has his own roofing business. The other is a karate instructor, has his own dojo. My stepson flips houses along with his mother, so there's a lot to talk about from a business standpoint.
Okay, very good. All right, so I'm gonna move into part 4, which is work and retirement. Once again, this is gonna cover a long period of your life, from the time you entered the labor force or started a family up to the present time. So I know we talked about this a little earlier, but I'll ask you again, and maybe you can elaborate a little bit more. What was your main field of employment?
My main?
Field of employment.
Over the years, it's been the automotive industry. I work for a company called Johnson Controls, who do automotive seating. And the area I worked in was automotive seating and urethane formulation and manufacture. I worked for Johnson Controls for a few years, like 41 years, 2 months, and 28 days.
I love it. Right down to the days.
Yeah, I retired from there in 1999. I retired for a whole 3 days, a weekend. Did a joint venture with some people in another company I knew, and became majority owner in a company that supplied liquid vinyl for application in the automotive industry primarily. Did that for roughly 6 years and retired totally in 2006, and I've been retired for 10 years, and I finally found something I do extremely well.
Retirement?
Nothing. And I love it.
Okay. So Johnson Control, 41 years, that was a lot of years, and you only retired from there for about 3 days. You just felt you still need to do, there was more you wanted to do.
I had an offer, and the offer looked interesting, and it gave me a chance to own my own business, run my own business, and I thought it was something I wanted to do, wanted to give it a try. So I was reaching the stage where I wanted to retire. The company was getting, for me, too big. I was spending too much time not doing my job, but protecting myself from covering your butt, to make a simple statement. And work was no fun any longer. That was time to go.
That was a 41 year?
It was the end of 41 years, yes.
At the end of 41 years. So when you became your own boss or owned your own company, how was that for you?
It was fun. It was challenging.
Challenging.
It was a 7-day-a-week job, that's for sure.
That's what I hear when you own your own business.
You're never off work. You're always on call, if you like. But I had the same thing when I was working for Johnson Controls. I was plant manager at their Whitmer Lake facility, and that was a 7-day-a-week job. I went on from there to become group director of foam processing, and I was responsibility for manufacture of foam in all facilities of Johnson Controls in the United States, Mexico, and with some assistance in the overseas in England and Germany, and some in China also. So that was a 24-hour day job plus 7 days a week.
Now that sounds really interesting. Is that where you got some of your traveling in?
That's part where of that I got position? a lot of my international travel in.
And so when you would travel, you would go to check on facilities there, or you go to pick up new knowledge, or what was that? What was happening?
A combination of things. We would, as Johnson Controls spread, we would go help set up, help them become more efficient, to try and help them become more efficient, really, install new materials, manufacturing procedures, processes, and that kind of thing. We did also go to look at some companies and see what they had that was new that we could assimilate into our group. I did some, we set up a program that helped plants do everything the same way, so that they become more assistant. The best practices is what it becomes, and we monitor those programs both in the States, mostly in the States, but some overseas also. We did troubleshooting. I had a group of 5-6 people who were experienced in manufacturing of urethane foam and equipment. And we would troubleshoot the various plants and lend assistance.
So in terms of when you would go overseas then, it was a combination. Sometimes you were going to set up things for them, and sometimes you were gathering information to bring back to the States?
Yes.
And so in terms of you being in the leadership role, were there other blacks in those roles, or were you primarily the main one in terms of your position?
To my knowledge, I was the only black in that particular role.
Okay. And how did you find, was that challenging, or how was it for you?
It was a challenging job. I didn't run into a lot of resistance. I generally overall worked with very good people. My group, unlike some other groups from corporate, we're there to assist, we're there to help, and that's really not what they're there for. We were actually there to help, to assist them to get better at what they did, to make sure that they were doing what they should do, the way they should do it, with what they should do it. So from my standpoint, worked out well. It was a very compatible group that I had working for me, and the people I worked with in the plant scattered across the United States were good people to work with. Had no problem from a bigotry standpoint, even though some of these plants were like in Tennessee or Kentucky, Mississippi, that kind of thing. No problem from that standpoint, or at least there's no problem that they wanted to face me with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in terms of getting that position, did you work your way up through the ranks and then you got applied or they recruited you for the position? Or?
I started with Johnson Controls, a company called Stubbins Green. It was bought out by Johnson Controls, but I started with them as a production worker. I worked in production for a couple of years while I was going to school, and I got to know the people in the lab, and the director of the lab made me an offer to want to come work in a lab where I could learn about the urethane systems and foams and that kind of thing, and I took the job. I went from the lab to a line position, which monitored the process and the systems on the line. It was really for manufacturing. I went from there to the chief line technician. From there, I became a process engineer. Generally, it requires an engineering degree, which I didn't have, but I had a ton of experience. I also took classes in chemistry. I went to sessions. I'm losing a word.
That's okay. Workshops.
Workshops and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. I work with suppliers and learn their techniques and learn from them what they're doing, how they did it, what their materials were, how they worked with what we were doing, what we should do with them. And from there, the plant manager moved on, and I became the temporary plant manager, and we talked about it for a while, and it was that if I'm going to do the job, I want the title and I want the pay, because until you find a plant manager, I'm going to have to do the job anyway. And let's give me the money. Give me the title. The title didn't matter. I'm money oriented, which is the reason I stayed in the industry and didn't teach. I couldn't afford to teach any longer, which is what my original plan in life was. I was going to plan to teach English. Wanted to teach high school to begin with, and then move on into teaching at a university someplace. Never got there. Couldn't afford it.
Well, apparently you did well with Johnson.
I did fairly well with Johnson.
Yeah, I think so. You just worked your way right on up and
worked my way up from the bare bottom, really.
Right. That's wonderful. It's really wonderful. So you sort of talked about it, but it says, the question here says, what do you value most about what you did for your living and why?
What I value most is the challenge. For the most part, there's always something new, something different, something that I could learn. Everything was a learning process, I mean, a learning procedure. A lot of times I would reach a level and I'd stay there for a while. And about the time that I was getting ready to move on, because I had job offers from other recruiters and that kind of thing, and something else would come up that was more in keeping to what I wanted to do, and presented a new challenge for me. Something new to learn, something...
To stretch your mind?
Yes, yes, yes.
That's great. When thinking back on your working adult life, what important social or historical events were taking place at that time, and how did they personally affect you and your family?
Well, I suppose the biggest social event that took place were the riots back in the 60s. Direct effect, initially, not a lot. Overall, back then, back in the 40s and 50s, as a black, you didn't have bad teeth, you didn't have bad hair, you didn't need deodorant, because you certainly didn't show up on commercials on television. There were no black people in those commercials on television. If nothing else, the riots in the 60s brought forth not an understanding, because it's still not understood, but an awareness that there were people out here who were pissed and wanted to stand up and be counted. And there was a lot in the government, programs in government that came about during that period of time. I personally, I think, is a direct result of the riots in the 60s. They were not good. And the people who were hurt most in the riots were black people, and destruction of property. But overall, it did heighten the awareness. It got the government off their butts and to install programs and to give the black community help where help was needed. It opened up a lot of areas that were not open before. It allowed you to live any place, like Ann Arbor, live any place you want to live. You got the money. Green became the color of the day. Still is.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you mentioned television, and so what is your first memory of seeing, you know, a person of color, black person on TV? You said they weren't in commercials. Were they on any of the programs?
Certainly not commercials.
Okay.
Don't mind me, I'm thinking.
That's fine.
Probably someone like Eddie Rochester. I can't remember who is. He was a butler in a family. I would go back into the 50s.
Okay.
I think he was my first. Other than that, the only blacks you saw were the maid, the bartender, and you know, slaves and movies of that kind. Okay. And that was pretty much it.
Okay.
You saw no blacks in lead roles. And until the movie, oh, it's tough to get old.
You're fine.
Old Man River, Showboat, wasn't Showboat. The other movie, like Carmen, came
okay.
about. There were no black movies that there were serious films with serious black leads.
Okay. So when that did happen, was there a lot of excitement in the black neighborhoods when somebody was starring, or when they finally could see somebody in the?
They were certainly proud.
Proud.
Pride
right.
was there.
Right.
Like Sidney Poitier and Harry Belafonte and people of that ilk in the movies they starred in. It was, yes, there was definitely pride.
Okay.
Just as there was pride with Joe Louis as a boxer when he was champion.
Right. Yeah.
Remember listening to the fights on the radio? You remember radio?
I do remember radio. I certainly do. So, anything else you want to add in terms of that Joe Louis, or just the fact that you listen, or people are very proud?
It was a proud time for the black community with Joe Louis as a fighter in the late 30s, early 40s. Then, of course, as you get older, people like Jackie Robinson breaking the line in baseball, and black athletes becoming major in a lot of sports that they weren't allowed into. Golf was probably the last one that you saw a major black figure.
I know with baseball, you often talk about the Negro League.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so that's where a lot of the best where the blacks played was in the Negro League.
There were a lot of very good black ball players that never got a chance to play in the majors because of segregation.
Right.
The same way with basketball, you know, the Harlem Globetrotters back then, when they were put together, in the early 40s, I believe it was, they took all the best of the black players that came out of high school and college, because there's no place for the black players in the NBA. For a period of time, the Harlem Globetrotters played against the NBA champions and beat them. And after that, it's about the time that blacks began to be integrated into the NBA, into basketball.
The thought of now NBA and no blacks, it's just, you can't even...
You can't conceive of it, no.
No, you can't.
Yeah. Actually, you cannot conceive of it.
Right. This is great. Okay, we're moving into the last part, part five. It's historical and social events. Tell me how it is for you to live in this community, to live in Ann Arbor.
Excuse me. I've lived in Ann Arbor all my life. Ann Arbor has always been a good place for me to live. I think I covered part of it due to the university and the diverse cultures that you find in Ann Arbor. For the most part, I think Ann Arbor has been a very open, especially after the 50s and 60s. It's become more and more open. I like Ann Arbor. I doubt there's any place else I really want to live. Ann Arbor's just strategically located for me. If I want to go to Detroit, see plays and that kind of thing, it's available from Ann Arbor. I just like Ann Arbor.
Okay.
Like the seasons. Overall, people are pretty good. I don't have any major concerns with people. I've been here all my life, and probably the place I will die. Don't plan on going anyplace.
Were you the kind of people we wanted to interview? People that have been here all their lives, so this is great. When thinking back over your entire life, what are you most proud of?
It's a good question. I don't have a good answer. Sorry.
You can think about it. We'll come back to it. So give me a little thought there. What would you say has changed the most from the time you were a young person to now?
In Ann Arbor, historically? No, we've covered a lot of it historically.
I know. Let's say in Ann Arbor.
Well, primarily Ann Arbor's gotten a heck of a lot bigger than it was when I was a kid coming up. Every place you look, there are halls and houses and people. Ann Arbor itself is not much bigger at 113,000, but the surrounding area in Ann Arbor is just huge now. Places like Slane, Manchester, Chelsea, Dexter, were just small hamlets that nobody lived. Now they're expensive places to live. Like Ann Arbor's always been expensive. Mm-hmm. So,
Just the growth, huh?
Just the growth.
Okay. What advice would you give to the younger generation?
Figure out what you want to do and do it. Get an education. Education doesn't have to be university or college or a formal education. Learn a skill. There's nothing wrong with being a plumber or a carpenter, a bricklayer. We need people like that. Getting a skill from a technical standpoint is an excellent way to go, because we are getting more and more technical and more things are involved with computers. My kids are a lot smarter than I am. They're more computer literate than I am. I came from an era where computers were were not to begin with. I remember the slide rule as a kid coming up, and then I remember the little calculators that would only do addition, multiplication, and that kind of thing, but they were like $40, $50. Now they give them away as toys. I guess anything else, become computer literate. You absolutely have to be computer literate and get an education in something, get a skill.
Good advice. All right, so this is the final question. How do you personally feel about doing this interview and its impact on you or others?
The interview made me nervous.
Hope you're more relaxed now.
Well, I'm still nervous.
Are you? You've done fine.
What was the full question
That's
again?
Okay. I was going to ask you one. How do you personally feel about doing this interview and its impact on you or others?
It'll be interesting to see what the impact on others is. The impact on me, it's just something I did. I do. Over the years, I've talked to a lot of people, and interviewers. This particular one is of interest. There's a lot of stuff I'd like to pass on. I think I did pass on some of it. I don't know what the effect on me is.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. Just to share with you, we are going to have students really be taking a look at some of these interviews, so we'll find out from them as well.
I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. What I would like to see is some feedback, if that's possible,
okay.
What they think. I was interested in what would occur with this, and if I could get some feedback online even, I would be very appreciative of it.
Okay.
See what their thoughts are.
All right.
Maybe even develop a dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are working on that now to get, when people go online, to actually do a short survey, and so we'll be getting feedback from others as well as students. So it's just great that you're able to share your story and some of the things that you talked about. A lot of people won't know about, adults won't, and students certainly won't know about a lot of it. So it's a learning process and education from them. So I feel that's really, really important. So once again, I want to say thank you for doing the interview, and we really appreciate it. So thank you.
You're more than welcome.
All right.
It's been my pleasure. An interesting
Mine as well.
An interesting one.
Okay, very good.